fuck were we doing?
I don't know. Well,
hey,
you
let's
had
do a list and a movie.
You
episode.
Had about half as many kids then.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that's an exaggeration.
No. No. I don't watch movies like I used to.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. The future belongs to the mad. Your ears belong to my co-host, Mr. Dave Becella.
And the winner is me.
Everybody.
For being here.
Yes, me for you being here. That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up. This is our Oscar 2016 preview show. Yay! With all due fanfare. The Academy Award announcements have been out for a long, long time, and this week we'll finally find out who won.
Who
it be. I feel like it's kind of maybe lazy on our part to do an Oscar preview episode. But on the other hand, I feel like it's sort of expected. You kind of have to. We have to do something with the Oscars because it's kind of the biggest thing that happens in movies on any given year.
But does it feel supposed to be anymore?
No. This year it does not.
This year's just like I'm so apathetic and disinterested in the Oscars.
Which is different from our normal episodes.
Vastly. Oh, where I'm way into it. Yeah. And
this year, I'm going to make a very strange comparison. It's a bit like, I feel like the Oscars.
Like Stomp the Yard 2?
No, it's more like Step Up to the Streets. I feel like the Academy Awards this year are a bit like watching a wrestling pay-per-view where you know what's going to happen and you know you're not interested, but yet you watch it anyway. For the entire, in this case, probably 4-hour broadcast, you're just like, oh, I'm not digging this, and I know that what's going to happen later on in the hour or later on in the show is not going to make me dig it anymore, but I have to get through it. I have to care, like we have to do this episode.
Yeah, and I mean, like I was going to do, last year for the Oscars, I did a Props and Poops article on the website. I was going to do that, but I realized it was just like all poops.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to just write an article that was all negative about the Oscars. So then Ryan said, hey, let's do an episode. Fuck it. Let's do an episode that's all negative about the Oscars, I guess.
Well, I don't think we're the only ones that are being particularly negative about the nominations this year. I don't know that there's a ton of merit behind the lack of black nominees this year. I mean, there are some for sure. Could Michael B. Jordan have been nominated for Creed? Yeah, I guess he could have been.
I think this year it's a bigger problem than it has been because it's not like there's one person who should have been nominated for Best Actor that didn't. Mm. With Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor, I could think of 5 or 6 that were worthy of it.
Idris Elba.
Director, I could think of 2 that were worthy of it. Supporting Actress, I could think of at least 1. Every category, I can think of ones that they're not deserving because they're black. They're deserving because they gave phenomenal performances mm-hmm. that can be held up to any of the nominees. And it's just, we're 2 white guys, so obviously what we say doesn't matter on this. It's silly. How is Straight Outta Compton not get more love? F. Gary Gray did a phenomenal job directing that movie. I think Ryan Coogler not getting mm-hmm. a Best Director nom is the biggest sham in all of it. Creed was directed gorgeously. Like, I thought that movie was put together so well, and you have this 29-year-old dude. A 29-year-old guy made that movie. That's ridiculous. For a 29-year-old dude to make a movie that well put together is insane to me, and to not get nominated. I mean, Straight out of Compton, what do you want from a movie that's, it was incredibly well done, incredibly well received. Any of the 3, I guess they'd be supporting. Jason Mitchell, Corey Hawkins, and O'Shea Jackson, Ice Cube Jr., or whatever his name is. All 3 of those were performances worthy of being in the discussion. Tess Thompson in Creed. Idris Elba in, I'm blanking on the kid's name from Beasts of No Nation. Mm. Every one of those is not just worthy of being nominated, could win. And Michael B. Jordan that you mentioned. Yeah. Like, those aren't just, oh, hey, here's, I'm just handpicking good black perform. No, these are fucking phenomenal performances from this year that just seem to got ignored.
It seemed like the nominations were very lazy. They were
extremely
very
lazy.
Sort of, you could see it coming a mile away, and that's not necessarily a good thing. Bridge of Spies, that is going to be nominated for Best Picture. Not surprising that some movies like Spotlight got, I mean, it's a good movie. Yeah. The Revenant was a good movie, not a great movie necessarily, but got nominated for a ton of Oscars. What I don't understand is why you couldn't take a chance on a, and it's not even like you'd have to be taking a chance on Straight Outta Compton. That's deserving of consideration, which it didn't get.
Because it's not just Straight Outta Compton and Creed.
No.
Star Wars. How does Star Wars not get a Best Picture nom?
How does Star Wars not, but yet Mad Max is nominated for a ton of stuff?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And this is what makes me mad is, there's 8 Best Picture noms, right?
Yeah, there could
they
be
can
10.
Go up to 10.
Yeah.
I mean, I named 3 movies right there. Creed, was it nominated or no?
No.
Creed, Straight Outta Compton, Star Wars. That's 3 movies that should be nominated for Best Picture, and you're only sitting at 8.
And one of them is Mad Max. I don't know what I'm missing, but that movie's nominated for like a ton of, even like the visual awards, like Best Editing.
I get
those. That movie was, no, I thought it was edited together like a music video.
It was.
Tons of jump cuts. Like you said with Creed, that movie was so well put together.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me that you have so many movies that should have been considered, like some of the ones that we just mentioned, but a movie like Mad Max gets nominated for a ton of categories. And to me, that's completely out of left field. It was a good action movie.
Yeah.
But is it really one of the best movies of this year?
That's where I'm torn. I get.
And people are pissed that Charlize Theron wasn't nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah. Mad Max is like their throw a bone pick. They try to make a pick every year, it seems like, to make them seem hip and stuff.
Nominate Straight Outta Compton. That'll make you seem hip.
I get some of the Mad Max love. I didn't particularly like it.
No.
I thought it was cool. I like that George Miller said, I'm just going to do what I want. I'm not hating on him getting a director nom. I'm really not. He made a 2-hour long car chase.
Yeah.
Essentially. Which.
Ridley Scott, not nominated.
Yeah. Ridley Scott. I mean,
Gary Gray, not nominated.
See,
these are guys that didn't get nominated because the guy that did a 2-hour car chase movie.
Whereas Straight Outta Compton and The Martian covered years in the same amount of time.
Yeah.
And it was paced nicely. Like,
right.
I thought The Martian was extremely well put together.
Yeah.
F. Gary Gray did so good with Straight Outta Compton. I mean, he covered, it's like 5 different movies almost that fit together. And it's almost like an anthology movie. Mm-hmm. It does feel like an interconnected anthology movie. And it works. And the performances he got, I said 3 performances that I thought were all award-worthy, all out of one movie. And Giamatti, I thought, was really good in it.
And we've done it. We've pretty much been going on and on for the beginning of this podcast about movies that didn't get nominated and the snubs. And that's one of the easiest things to do because it's the first thing that comes to mind.
And it's 2 years in a row. Like David Oyelowo last year, Ava DuVernay last year. Gillian Flynn not getting nominated for the screenplay for Gone Girl last year. It's a problem. It's not me being social justice warrior or whatever they call that. Like, there's a problem when you have people that are putting up award-worthy work, but less deserving white dudes are getting credit.
In some instances. I mean, there are some categories that it would have been tough. Best lead actor. To put in Will Smith or to put in Michael B. Jordan.
I mentioned him earlier, yeah.
I know, but you'd have to take out a really great
performance.
No,
and I get it.
I have less problem with that.
Yeah.
But like you said, for Best Picture, we have 2 slots available. You don't have to take anything
director,
out.
Director, I would take almost any of them out over those 2. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Coogler should get it. Coogler would be my best director pick. Creed should be one of the best. I mean, that should be regarded as one of the best pictures of the year. I guess I don't have a point other than it's boring.
I think it's
predictable.
More often than not, when we are talking about awards and best, it's very subjective. And you're going to piss more people off than you are going to make happy. And I don't know that it's going to get any better when we do have the broadcast here coming up. But I mean, we're not going to go through all the categories. I've got some kind of selected ones, sort of the big ones and the ones that we kind of care about. We'll start with best original screenplay. It's not an accident we're starting here. It's pretty much the biggest award, I guess, Straight Outta Compton is nominated for. And those were white dudes that got nominated, the writers for that movie. It's also nominated against Spotlight, Inside Out, Ex Machina, and Bridge of Spies. A part of me really wants Straight Outta Compton to win this because that's what I want to have happen. This year where I hate the Academy, I want them to give this movie an award to two white guys because I think that'll just create a giant shitstorm.
I want this movie to win. If I were picking on what I think deserves it, you know, as much as I want to say Ex Machina because it was one of my favorite movies of the year.
To me, that's original.
I don't think it's nearly as original as Inside Out.
Well,
I think Inside Out was a beautifully constructed story that was ridiculously thought out for a kid's movie. It's an incredibly detailed, in-depth story in a kid's movie. That would be my pick. I'm not even going, for this episode, I'm not going on who I think will win. Out of the nominees, I'm going on who I think should win. And I think Inside Out is the best of those screenplays.
I would argue that or Bridge of Spies is based off actual events, and so was Spotlight. Straight Outta Compton. Yeah, exactly. These were all based off real events. And the other two, Inside Out specifically, really original thought. It's the movie about feelings where they are somewhat anthropomorphized, if that's even possible. And then Ex Machina was just a really cool idea, but something that we had kind of seen before. Moving on to adapted screenplay, nominees for this one are The Big Short, Brooklyn, Carol, Martian, and Room.
I like Martian here. I thought he took a book that would be very, very hard to put together.
Adapt, and
made a really great, I mean, everything about this movie was good. It starts with the screenplay. Like, it was a well put together screenplay. Matt Damon had a lot of good material to work with. I think The Martian of these,
I'm going to say The Big Short only because you have subject matter that should be really, really dry, and they managed to make it. To me, Big Short is a bit like Wolf of Wall Street, where I didn't realize that was going to be as funny and as entertaining as it was. I give the writers of that movie a lot of credit, and I see similar things in The Big Short, how they were able to make, both of them had to do with finance and scumbaggery, but they were able to kind of lampoon that sort of behavior. You don't necessarily understand what's going on in either movie. It's far above my ability, but they were both enjoyable, whereas, you know, a dry finance movie probably wouldn't be as fun. Moving out of the words into the pictures, best cinematography nominees there: Carol, The Hateful Eight, Mad Max, Fury Road, The Revenant, and Sicario. There are times when I'll see a movie and say, yes, this is going to win best cinematography. Life of Pi. I was like, there's no way it's not winning. There's no way The Revenant's not winning this. And I think it deserves to win it because it's a beautifully shot movie.
Yeah, this category I don't have a lot of problems with because I think of Mad Max, I think of Sicario, I think of Revenant. Those all have a unique look to them. They messed with the colors and they got their own unique look.
And Tarantino shot in, like, he had to dig up like a camera lens to shoot some of those establishing shots, and they were beautiful.
But
to me, I mean, from
this is Revenant's award.
Front to back.
Yeah.
Next off, instead of like how the movie was shot, how it's drawn, animated film. Nominees there, no surprise, Inside Out, Anomalisa, also nominated, Boy in the World, Shaun the Sheep Movie, and When Marnie Was There.
It's a two-man race.
Yes. And I feel like it's very, I mean, if we were doing a pick'em, I would probably grow a set and say Anomalisa, just because everybody's going to say Inside Out, and it's hard to pick against a Pixar movie and one that's this good.
Yeah, Inside Out's a special movie, but they like to be able to do, it's not a kid's movie, Anomalisa.
No.
It's not a kid's movie. I think they'd kind of get off being able to have that as a best animated picture. I wouldn't be shocked if it wins, but it should go to Inside Out.
I'm not even going to say that it should. I think that it will, just because it's going to be awfully hard to not give that award to that movie But this is one that when they do tear open the envelope, I am going to be legitimately surprised with who wins. I mean, either one of these is going to surprise me because I'll be like, wait, the other one lost? Yeah. Which is not necessarily a theme throughout the entire broadcast. Let's just go right to Best Director. There are a lot of them that I think Dave feels could be left off the list. And some of these guys put together really good movies. Lenny Abrahamson from Room. Alejandro Iñárritu, the reigning and defending director of the year. This year with The Revenant, Tom McCarthy, Spotlight, Adam McKay, The Big Short, and George Miller, Mad Max, Fury Road.
Coogler, F. Gary Gray. I'd say J.J. Abrams should have got a nomination here.
I wouldn't argue.
Just for what he was able to do. I'd pick those three all over almost any of these guys, except maybe Iñárritu. I don't hate Miller getting the nom, like I said, just because of how he did it. Boyle, I don't know how to phrase this. I think Boyle did a better job directing than Jobs was as a movie. I liked how he put it together where it was essentially a play. They would rehearse the one section, film it, rehearse the second, film it. I thought that was a cool approach. It got good performances. I don't really think the movie was all that great. I don't even want to pick a winner. I mean, I think it's Iñárritu. I think he wins again.
I think it's been...
I think he should, of these...
88 years since a guy went back-to-back with Best Director.
I mean, I my gut says they'll give it to Miller, but I think of these, Iñárritu... And even if all the ones that I talked about, even if Abrams and Coogler... I mean, honestly, like, it should be Iñárritu, Coogler, F. Gary Gray, Abrams, and Ridley Scott. That would be the ones that I would have nominated. So this category, I really don't care this year because, you know, Room was an okay movie. Room was good. Mm-hmm. I like Lenny Abrahamson. It's not my favorite of his movies. I really like what Adam McKay did with The Big Short. But...
And that's kind of who I'm pulling for. It's going to become kind of obvious as we go forward that I'm really sort of rooting for that movie just because I'll be pissed whenever Mad Max wins anything just because at this point I'm drinking the haterade on that.
I just look at it like Ang Lee winning Life of Pi. Mad Max of these five movies is the most visually appealing, I guess. It's most visually different.
Yes.
I mean, other than The Revenant.
Yeah, that movie to me is appealing because it's shot beautifully.
And that's why I think Iñárritu goes back to back.
You could be right. Speaking of Danny Boyle and Steve Jobs, he did get a nomination for Kate Winslet for that movie in Best Supporting Actress. She's also nominated with Alicia Vikander from The Danish Girl, Rachel McAdams, Spotlight, Rooney Mara for Carol, and Jennifer Jason Leigh in The Hateful Eight.
I think it's Vikander.
I do too.
I'd almost nominate her twice this year. Like
for Ex Machina too?
Yeah.
Or for The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
But I'd nominate her three times. No,
Once, twice, three times.
Really think she should have got a nom for Ex Machina. Tess Thompson should be in this category somewhere. Really think it's whoever I just said. What did I just
Alicia
say?
Alicia Vikander.
Alicia.
I think
that's who I think. That's who I want to win.
It's her or Rooney Mara. I think Jennifer Jason Leigh had a really cool performance in Hateful Eight. I didn't love that movie. She was really pretty good in it, and I think it's just a shame that I don't really feel like she's got any chance in hell. So I mean, I guess I'll agree with you and just say Vikander.
It's that Redmayne effect.
The Redmayne effect we may get to a little bit later.
Speaking of back-to-back.
Yeah. Next up, we'll stick with the supporting category. We'll go Best Supporting Actor. Christian Bale for The Big Short, Tom Hardy for The Revenant, Mark Ruffalo, Spotlight, Mark Rylance, Bridge of Spies, and Sylvester Stallone for Creed. This is one that I think everybody on here was really, really good.
Yeah.
That'd be a hard one to pull anybody out of.
I think Hardy wins it. This is a tough one, but I still think any of the three from Straight Outta Compton should be here. I'd like to have seen Harrison Ford here for Star Wars.
I'm not salty for that at all.
Have fun. That's one of those that's like, it's like they try so hard to be film awards and not movie awards. And
sure,
I get it, but I'd like to see him nominated.
I mean, I think the sentimental old man vote, and I think it's going
to
be who wins. Yeah, I think Stallone's winning this.
I think he wins it.
They didn't nominate Creed for anything else.
I know.
But they nominated him for the—and it deserved it.
He was good.
I think he was really good in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think—
Maybe really good for him.
Maybe I'm not as confident. I think it's him or Hardy. Yeah. I think it's one or the— I don't know that I'm leaning one way or the other. I'd probably lean Stallone, but
sometimes I think, and it'll become apparent when I give my rationale for best actor later, that sometimes I think they just decide that they want to give somebody an award just to kind of spread the wealth. Tom Hardy, I feel like they know he's going to be back.
He'll be here again.
And they're not worried about it. With Stallone, I absolutely think that, and a ton of the credit goes to Ryan Coogler. This movie doesn't even get made if it's not Ryan Coogler. But it's going to be Stallone that gets the award credit for the rejuvenation of the franchise. And I mean, I thought he did well in Rocky Balboa. He certainly actually showed some ability to act in this movie, and I think that they'll reward him for that. I mean, Christian Bale's, you know, he's another guy that's going to be there every year, and Mark Ruffalo's becoming that guy. I do think it'll be Stallone. Best actress. Again, I think this is kind of a two-horse race. Cate Blanchett from Carol, Brie Larson from Room, Jennifer Lawrence, Joy, Charlotte Rampling, 45 Years, and Saoirse Ronan for Brooklyn. I think it's between her or Larson.
I think it's Larson.
Yeah, I think she wins.
I mean, Saoirse would be second place, but it's Larson. They know they screwed up with Short Term 12, not even giving her a nomination. She's really good in this movie.
Well, certainly.
It's 100% Larson.
When I mentioned that how stacked the best supporting actor category was and how it would be tough to pull anybody off and get somebody on, Jacob Tremblay, I think, for being 9, should have picked up a best supporting nom for that movie.
That's another one. Yeah.
Like, much like the little girl from that girl from Beasts of the Southern Wild. She was great in that movie. He was great in this. I mean, we've seen it before. Keisha Castle Hughes for Whale Rider. I mean, we could go down the list. Jodie Foster got nominated when she was super young.
Jenna Malone for The Pianist. Is that right? Did I make that up?
That she was nominated for The Pianist?
Yeah.
For as much as Room gets nominated or got nominated, it wasn't nominated for a ton of things, but I think this is the one that it's probably going to win, and it might be the only one that it wins. And I do think it's very deserving for Larson. She's doing some really, really good stuff, and I think she's finally going to get the credit that she deserves. This is absolutely a role that coulda, shoulda, hopefully will win for best lead actress, because it is, to me, it's the best performance I've seen from a female this year in a movie that was basically dependent entirely on her just showing a lot of range, from being locked in this room with this kid who she loves and it's pretty much her entire world, to you see a completely different character in the second half of the movie, and it's good on her for being able to do it.
Not Jenna Malone. Anna, I'm thinking Anna Paquin, but I can't remember the movie. It had a piano in it.
X-Men.
The piano.
The piano.
Not The Pianist.
Right.
The piano. She won when she was a little girl.
Anna Paquin, not nominated for Best Actor. Those that are: Bryan Cranston from Trumbo, Matt Damon, The Martian, Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant, Michael Fassbender, Steve Jobs, and the aforementioned Eddie Redmayne for The Danish Girl.
I think Redmayne gets it. I'd like to see Damon win it. I think it'd be an awesome win for Damon. Part of me thinks it goes to Leo, though. Like, this one I honestly will be surprised either way.
The cynical part of me, and the part of me that's a bigger part of me, thinks it's going to go to DiCaprio because they want to give it to him.
It's because I think the Revenant's going to, I think it's going to clean up.
I think it had 12 nominations, which was the most of any other movie, which is typically a sign how much the Academy likes it. They don't usually like to shut out movies like that. I do think he's going to win it, only because I think Eddie Redmayne was better, but I think because they gave it to him last year, because he earned it last year, I don't think that they're going to be all that upset about having to pass him over this year. I think Fassbender and Bryan Cranston both turn in performances.
They're good, but they don't hold a candle to the other three.
Maybe not. I agree with you. I think it'd be awesome to see Matt Damon win, but I do think this is going to be sort of a lifetime achievement for Leo. And I mean, I guess I'm okay with it. There are other movies that I wish he would have won for that he didn't, a bit like Scorsese. But if they give it to him this year, I guess that's fine. Then I don't have to listen to him next year try and do Leonardo DiCaprio trying to win an Oscar again.
This would be like Russell Crowe winning for Gladiator, though. Whereas Russell Crowe had other performances that probably should have gotten an Oscar. Or Denzel for Training Day. Leo was good in this movie, but Leo didn't have to.
Right. He didn't speak through most of the movie. He was kind of grunting around. And that's fine. I realize there's some skill in that. And fine. He'll win. And that's all right. Will The Revenant win Best Picture? Not if The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, Mad Max, Fury Road, The Martian, Room, or Spotlight have anything to say about it. One of those 8 films, not 10.
I like The Martian. I think The Revenant will get it. I think The Revenant or Big Short are going to just come out big.
And I think it's going to be Big Short because of the kind of the newness factor to it, where Inarritu having Birdman last year, Eddie Redmayne having won last year, I think they're going to be okay with giving it to Leo. And that'll be a big award for that movie. Big Short, I think, is one of those ones that's just picking up steam here right at the right time. And I really think that, like you said, it's going to be either be this or The Revenant that sweeps through. And I think it'll be Big Short. And certainly not nominated for as many acting categories as you would think that it could have, would have, should have been. I think it wins Best Movie, and I hope it wins Best Director. Just because I think it'd be great if Adam McKay was the best director of this year.
Director of Anchorman.
Right.
And writer of Ant-Man. But it also wouldn't surprise me if they give Brooklyn every award it was nominated for, because that seems like an Academy thing to do.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just so cynical this year. Last year and this year have just been rough years, and it's just, they feel out of touch. They feel like they're missing something, and I feel like there's such a disconnect between the Academy Awards and people who actually go see movies.
I guess if it were based on people that went and saw movies, the Best Picture category would be Jurassic World and Star Wars.
And I'm not even saying that. I'm just, how is Star Wars not nominated for Best Picture? I don't get that. You give Avatar that year a Best Picture nom, but
Avengers wasn't.
No, but
Titanic was. I guess you have to be directed by James Cameron to be nominated.
And it's not even the box office. I think it's just the what it accomplished. Like, in the scope of movies, it's a sequel to a movie from 40 years ago. And it still made people care. And it was done incredibly well.
You make the same argument for Creed.
Which I said should be nominated for Best Picture. Yeah, and should have a chance at winning.
Right, but it's not.
I mean, Star Wars, Martian, Creed, I think Straight Outta Compton, I think all of those, I know Martian is, but I think all of those should be nominated.
I would love to see The Martian win. I mean, sentimentally.
I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, for Ridley Scott.
I think it'd be like Argo winning, where it's like, hey, there's a lot of good stuff going on in here. You're not getting anything else, so let's just do this.
Right.
Which wouldn't shock me. Affleck didn't get nominated for director that year. I'd like to see that, because I think of the nominees, that's probably my favorite of the ones that were actually nominated.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly the one that I would sit down to watch again first. I don't ever need to see The Revenant again. I really don't need to see Room again. I don't ever want to see Mad Max again. It was an enjoyable movie. It was a fun, enjoyable movie. And for the most part, with the exception of The Big Short and, I guess, Mad Max, there's no fun, enjoyable movies that are nominated here. Yeah.
It's Oscar movies.
Yeah, and we call them Oscar movies for a reason, but it would be nice if they were somewhat less predictable.
And, I mean, they throw in Mad Max in there.
That's unpredictable, but it seems dumb.
Yeah.
There are people out there that like that movie, and I just they're not in this room, so it seems a little out of left field. If you want to send us your Oscar picks or your thoughts on them, if you're similarly disenfranchised as we are, let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or @moviesonup on the Twitter. Next week will be our first episode of March, Beware the Ides of March. And we talked a lot about, well, maybe not a lot about Spotlight this week, but that obviously a movie about the Boston Globe reporters. Next week, we've got movies featuring journalists, not in honor of that movie, but in honor of the Tina Fey Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
So see what the story on those are next week with our favorite movies starring journalists. Enjoy the Academy Awards this year as much as you are capable. And until next week,
keep it up.